Take it to the top. To the top. No, the bottom of the top. To the top. To the top.
If you wanna be a bride, there's lots to decide. Some get so stressed out that they change their mind.
You need a DJ.
Oh, yeah.
The hunt has begun, but you gotta pick a venue. That's number one.
Decisions.
Stress.
Try to push the right button at the right time. Hi, Richie Phillips here once again with another edition of Take It to the Top. And I'm definitely going to the top of the wedding business here in a minute. I've got to tell you who I got here sitting to the right of me. Let me give you the genesis of the idea for this particular edition. I was at a wedding show with the group of guys that I work with. That's SEH Entertainment, Scott Hemming's group. We were up there at the Hall of Springs in Saratoga for a wedding show. And a lot of brides came up asking all kinds of questions. And it kind of dawned on me. I was thinking, well, you know, maybe we can make a whole podcast out of this. We'll take questions from people and then get an expert in the field. And God knows I'm not. Don't shoot me. I'm just a piano player. But I do have an expert in the field here who can answer from a different angle. I have Harvey Vlejos here from the Altamont Manor. Beautiful place. I've been working with this gentleman for 20 years, right?
About that, yeah.
Yeah.
But who's counting, right?
But who's counting? He got sick of me 19 years ago, but I keep coming in. And Harvey has a beautiful location there. We're not trying to make this an out-and-out infomercial. We're just trying to give you information. But he's got a wealth of information on all the aspects of the wedding besides the music. Well, even including the music, because you listen all the time. You have no choice but to listen to it, right?
That's true. We've seen a lot of DJs come through there.
That's right.
And bands.
And bands.
And harpists. And bagpipers.
Can you imagine a four-hour wedding with a bagpiper? That could be good.
We did have someone actually played 5 hours of Zydeco. Seriously, it was a big band too.
I love
like six or eight pieces, something like that. Yeah,
you've probably seen it all,
I guess. Pretty much, right? Yeah.
You know, I was going to start out with philosophy. What is your general philosophy as far as you're thinking about how you run a venue?
Well, boy, you're starting out with a tough one, huh? I mean, it sounds almost like a cliche, but we're trying to make sure that they have the good experience,
right?
All right, and I mean, that pretty much goes without saying. I mean, every venue promises you a good time.
Right.
Okay. So what do you do to differentiate yourself? And part of that is really helping the bride get the wedding that they're looking for. And like I say, everybody says, come here, you're going to have a great time. Nobody mm-hmm. says, okay, once we get your deposit, we're not going to answer your phone calls or anything like that. We want to make sure that the brides and the couples have a great experience with every facet of the wedding, from the venue to the DJs, to mm-hmm. the photography, to the caterers. All of these elements are all pretty much equal. Anyone can kind of make or break a wedding like that. And so that's what we do with that.
See, that's a bride calling. He already booked a wedding. He can't stop. He's booking weddings while I'm talking to him here.
Yeah, don't they say, please silence your phone?
That's right. That's right.
So what we do is we try to be really knowledgeable about all the different aspects. I mean, my other business is being a photographer and a videographer. So we know that aspect of it very well. Mm-hmm. As part of doing film production and so forth, we also understand music. And having seen a lot of DJs, and then, of course, the family, the Altamont Manor, it has been in the family since 64, and we've had it since 1990, doing weddings there. And so we're familiar with caterers and the food, there's all that background. So we try to pull that all together and try to steer the couples towards people that are really going to help them get what they're looking for. Because in any business, there are people that are good, and they're easy to work with. There are people that are good, and they're difficult to work with. And you have right. people that are difficult to work with, and they're not very good. So, you know, that's what we try to do. And you say a philosophy is really try to steer them towards the people that suit their personality and the style, because not everybody has the same style.
I mean, just
like DJs are a great
right.
example.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
You can have a DJ that's just going to be quiet and play the music, or you can have yep. a DJ that's going to, you know, they had a six-pack of Red Bull before they came.
That's me.
Breaking in a new comedy act. And, you know, they're grabbing the grannies out of the chairs and making them dance where they want to or not, you know. So we have a list of people and say, what are you looking for? And then here are a pool of DJs or a pool of vendors mm-hmm. that really suit what you're looking for.
And I know from working with you that I know that you're going to be you're extremely hands-on with every aspect of a wedding, as opposed to I've played in some hotels where there's six weddings going on at the same time.
Right.
I'm not necessarily knocking hotels. I mean, it's just a different animal. You know, they have so many going on at the same time. You can't be hands-on. But there's only one wedding in your place. They've got the entire place for the entire afternoon or evening, and that's a real positive, I think.
Yeah, these are some of the things when you're thinking about booking a venue. I mean, first of all, you got your package places. So you go there, and you have to take whatever packages they offer you. Those are generally more, I don't characterize it, really more like chrome and glass versus we're sort of like wood and leather.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, something along those lines. So there's different styles.
Sure.
Go to some of the other places, and there are others besides us, believe it or not.
there are. I don't know that.
So when you go to other places where you work with caterers, that gives you an advantage in a way because it's a lot more flexible. You can find a really nice place and then find a caterer that matches your budget, matches the style of food that you want.
Right.
And most of the caterers that are, again, there are different caterers with different styles, and some are bigger and some are smaller and some are in the middle. And generally the ones, we work mostly with the ones that are in the middle, and those are generally run by the owners, so you're not dealing with a banquet manager. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a lot of the banquet managers are very professional, but there is turnover. Mm-hmm. And you may have, especially weddings are planned so far out, a year, 2 years, something
true.
Like that.
Okay? Very true.
So
you may not get the same person.
That's exactly right. They could be taking a different job somewhere else.
That's
and so the person that you have struck up this good relationship with is now working for somebody else. And again, on the other hand, when you go to a package place, it's all in one, you know, one number. But if you examine it, the only difference really is that you get two bills, okay? There you get one bill at a package place. When you get a venue where you work with caterers, you get two bills.
Because you're not running the catering itself.
That's right.
Right.
But one of the advantages is that, again, you can mix and match with different, find a nice place, find a maybe a low middle caterer.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is that we're a property rental. It's like an apartment. You don't pay sales tax on an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So you save that money. Instead of paying it to the package place. When you go to the package place, it's 15, 20% gratuity, 8% sales tax. You're looking at 25 to 30% on whatever number they give you.
It's big.
Yeah, it is. It really does. Yeah, you think about that. 25 to 30% of your budget is going into tax and gratuity.
Wow.
So if you can cut back on some of that, it's going to help you with your budget.
And on the music side, my philosophy, it's changed a little bit, but still the general idea is to be, I want to be friendly about it. I want to be organized, but not to the point where I'm so stiff that I can't make any accommodations for people. I've seen, and not to criticize others, but it's just different styles. Some are very, very, it's almost like to a script.
Right.
And I guess maybe it's from my background in radio. We never had a script. It was always off the top of our head. I don't want to be that way, but I also don't want to be so scripted that you sound like a robot up there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've probably seen more DJs than you have. You're in business.
Oh, sure, that's right.
You know, we've had like 800 weddings.
Yeah, right.
And so I've seen a lot of different styles and so forth. And so we've got a pretty good handle on what makes a good DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And also for different styles of weddings. I can't really emphasize that enough. And I think you're very flexible with that.
And even in my son's case, when he got married, I don't think the guy said three words the entire time, and nobody sat down the entire time. They danced to every single song. So you really can't pin down anyone that works for everybody.
Right. And that's the other thing. You brought up a good point, too, that triggered a thought, was that there's so many different styles within that, and the ability of a DJ to read the room.
That's very important.
It's very important. I've seen you do that, and you do a very good job. I've had other DJs nobody's dancing. Well, they don't want to dance. Okay?
Exactly.
And so turning the volume up and playing up-tempo music, that's not what they want. If they wanted to dance, they would get up and dance.
That's part of my philosophy. You have people at a wedding sometimes have come from miles in every direction to see each other. They're having dinner, and somebody's blasting the music so much that you can't even speak to your grandmother next to you. I think that's you're doing a disservice to the crowd. I think there's a time and place for the music.
Right. That's exactly it. There's this ebb and flow, and you have to have a feel for it. And the other thing, and that goes back to one of the other things about a venue, if you're confined to one room, where does everybody go who wants to talk? You're absolutely right about people get together. People get together for weddings and funerals. Okay?
That's exactly it.
You know, for families get together like that. Okay. that kind of leads to one of the things about the photography. You know, you don't take pictures at a funeral, so you really have to have good photography. Okay.
People are dying to get those shots.
Right, right, there you go.
There you go.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
We're too much alike. Peas in a pod. And there's no laugh sign in here in the studio.
That's right. Right, yeah. We make our own.
So when you're picking a venue, where are the people going to go that want to sit and talk and catch up? And that's one of the things that you should look for when you're looking at for a venue. Fortunately, we seem to have a couple of those. We have the big wraparound porch, the veranda, which is 100 feet long.
Oh, yeah.
And then we also have the bar area and the foyer. So there's a lot of different areas where you can go and carry on a conversation without having to yell and scream.
I actually did a wedding for a relative. Hope they're not listening to the podcast. But this is years ago on Long Island. And they do things differently down there.
Yes, they do.
You walk in, and from note one of the DJ, it was like this. The entire time, it was like every song was to the exact same beat.
Right.
It was so loud that I had to literally walk outside to talk to somebody I hadn't seen for, you know.
Right. It's your version of the 5 hours of Zydeco.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, Zydeco is fun, but 5 hours, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want to go to one of our questions because we had a lot of recorded questions that came in. These are some of the questions that were recorded at the wedding show.
Okay.
When I was working with my buddies over there at SEH Entertainment.
Hi, I'm Tara. We think it's important to meet with our DJ, and if we do, we want to make sure this is the person that we get. Is that how it works?
I've heard that said that sometimes people will meet with the DJ, and then they don't get the same DJ when it comes time to the wedding.
Right.
Have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There are services and things like that.
That's crazy.
It is. Yeah, it really is. I mean, you have to have a rapport. You have to like them. You got to be able to talk to them. Like I say, a good DJ will say, I understand where you're coming from, but consider this or consider that. And like mixing it up. Some people want a certain style of music all the way through, but then what happens to, you know, aunts and uncles and grandma and grandpa and things like that? Other people want to dance as well, too.
Right.
So being able to pace it and then being able for the DJ to be able to say, well, you know, what is that song of the Righteous Brothers? It's the biggest...
Unchained Melody.
Unchained Melody. We get people up to dance. You know, that's one of the number one song, I guess, when you hear... And I've
that's
seen
right.
that happen before where
it
it's
is.
Been quiet and there's a few people dancing and then they play that and it's like... Everybody said, quick, everybody evacuate the room. They
right.
get up off their table and go over to the dance area, and they start to dance like that. So a good DJ will be able to do that and be able to convey the need to rely on their professionalism and their knowledge,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, reflect who they are.
Very good point. And that relates to another question that came in. This was written on Facebook. What are some of the top, quote, do not play songs for weddings? That's kind of a pet peeve of mine as well. There are some songs that have definitely been played a little too much at the weddings. And
right.
it goes in and out, you know, they go in and out of favor.
Right.
But I have a problem sometimes when a prospective bride will come in with a real long list of do not play songs. And you look at them and say, yeah, but those are the songs. If you go on Google and look at the top songs, they really haven't changed that much in 20 years. There's still a list of songs that are aces in the hole that'll get people up to dance. And if your list contains those same songs on your do not playlist, and then people come up to you and ask for those songs, you look like the party pooper as the DJ.
Right, yeah.
And that's a problem.
Those are like the classics, you know? I mean,
right.
Celebrate. And
right, right.
It all depends on the length of the list, I guess.
That's
I mean,
true.
That's the other thing.
Right.
At a certain point, I mean, as a DJ, you sort of have to make a decision and say, okay, well, you know, this is what they want.
Yeah. Right.
And also sometimes people will have a favorite song that they had at their wedding and they want to hear it and it's on the do not playlist.
Exactly.
Oops.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the chicken dance, I can totally understand.
That's, right.
That's come and gone. Or
right,
you put
yeah.
your left foot in, you put your left foot out, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
No, you can have your list. I'm not saying, you know, it's to the point where you handcuff the DJ to the point where he can't or he or she can't play anything. And I've seen that. And I've seen people come in with a pre-printed list for the entire night. We want these songs played in this order, and we don't want to veer from it.
Yeah.
That, I think, has taken away a little bit of the professionalism of a DJ, no matter who you pick.
Well, it's true. And also you have the experience, because how many times have the
right.
people gotten married, and how many times has a DJ played a wedding?
Right.
All right. And so you know what works and what doesn't work for the most part.
That's why you're being hired.
Yeah. And
right.
so there's that big middle, you know, I mean, I can see the extreme on one end or the extreme on the other end, okay?
Right.
Like, don't play all of these things. But generally in the middle, and most brides and couples keep starting with brides because a lot of times the groom just shows up. You know?
He has no decision making, right, and we know it.
Right. It sort of reminds me of the joke about the job of the father of the bride: pay up, show up, shut up.
That's right.
So, but yeah, I think you know, most DJs do a pretty good job. It just becomes a style preference. Mm-hmm. Out of all the DJs we've seen there, I would say that you probably have the widest range of all the DJs, because I've seen you just be quiet and play the music, and I'm assuming that's what they wanted. Okay? It's not that you were having a bad day that day, and I'm not talking to anybody.
I think it's when they all said, shut up. I think that's when I got the hint.
Okay.
Right.
And then on the other hand, because you play the keyboards,
right,
and that's another bonus. I mean, every DJ's got the same music. Everybody's got, you know, all the same records, mm-hmm, or the songs downloaded, you know, things like that. I still remember when they were bringing in cases and cases of vinyl.
We're recording in my basement. I have tons of them over there if you want
which
some.
Which is making a comeback, you know, vinyl.
Oh, sure it is.
Yeah. It's, but anyhow. Yeah. But on the other hand, because you play keyboards, they're getting live music, basically, for the cost of a DJ. So you've got a lot of flexibility like that. And the other thing is, I mean, I happen to know your background. We've worked together for so long, so you do the parodies and the songs and so forth, that... I still remember this to this day, where you were playing, it was kind of like a cross between Family Feud and Name That Tune,
right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And you would be playing the theme songs from 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000 TV shows. Mm-hmm. And so people would yell out what the theme song was. It was the bride's family against the groom's family. And I don't remember which is which, but one side was absolutely stomping the other. Okay. So sort of came to the conclusion that one side of the family watched TV and the other side read books.
That's right.
So anyhow, but that's what I mean about the range. You know, you've got probably the biggest range out of all the DJs. There are a couple of other guys, too, that play guitar, so that's always nice. But no one does the comedy routine and things like that. So that's another added element that I've never seen at the Manor.
And some people don't want the comedy, but, you know,
right,
it's an option. And throwing it back at you, right back at you, Harvey. I mean, I've been playing in a lot of places. I've played for 30 years in this area, and I don't think I've seen a venue that offers so much in one place, including the photography.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great. I love, Harvey does this one thing that's unbelievable. He'll get on the roof of his manor at the Altamont Manor and take this aerial shot, and everybody has to look up, and the shot is just gorgeous every single time. It's such a cool thing to have.
Right, because trying to arrange 100, 150 people, yeah, at ground level so you can see everybody is just not going to happen.
That's
okay?
Right.
It's just not going to happen. So we get up on the upstairs, either the porch or the roof, something like that,
right,
and everybody's looking up so you can see everybody, which is kind of cool. So it becomes a family keepsake. It's one, mm-hmm, of those advantages that we have.
And you get married right in the back of your place.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
gorgeous.
That's one of the things. The ceremony is held there. And then we have a plan B. That's the other thing, going back to, if we can just regress back to the venue thing, when you're,
right,
looking for different venues. If you're going to get married at the venue, there are places that have some nice grounds, and you know, they're very, very lovely, very nice. But what happens if it rains?
Good point.
Okay, I mean,
oh,
you,
yeah,
really have to have a plan B for the ceremony.
Sure.
So that's one of the things you really need to look at as you're looking at different venues. And fortunately, we have a plan B. And also, our capacity is around 150 with the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
So we can do that, have the ceremony inside, and do the dinner and the dancing and so forth without a problem. When you get down around 100 people, we actually have a plan C.
Hmm.
So that you can seat 80 people on the porch, on the veranda.
Really?
It's L-shaped.
Yeah, I guess you can, yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Because it's L-shaped.
You do 10 rows of four one way and 10 rows of four the other way.
Wow, and you've done
and
it
you
there.
Get married in the corner.
Oh, I've never seen that done.
Yeah, so, I mean, because you think about it, if it rains in May, June, July, August, it's probably still going to be warm.
Sure.
So you can do it outside.
That's great.
Yeah, so we've had several people do that. And when that usually happens, what they do is they kind of skip B. They go from A to C. If it's a smaller wedding like that, you could actually, like I say, seat 80. You see a few people are standing, and then they have the bridal party in the corner there like that. But going back to, these are the sorts of things that you need to think about when you're looking at different venues.
Right.
What's plan B for the ceremony, plan B for the cocktail hour.
Right, the cocktail hour, another important point.
Right,
yeah.
And that's another advantage you have, because when you are doing live music, you're out there on the porch, and it really has a nice effect. And so that's one of the things that you get.
I am talking, by the way, with Harvey Vallejos of the Altamont Manor, and this is our special wedding edition of Take It to the Top.
The other thing which most people don't think about is a plan B for the photography.
Yeah.
Because you're only going to get,
sure,
one shot, pun intended, at this wedding.
Right.
All right. And so if it rains and you can't use the gardens, where are you going to take the nice pictures? Are you confined to one room inside? Where are you going to take your family shots, your group shots, things like that? What's going to be in the background? So you really have to have a plan B.
So your plan B is?
Well, we do several things. We have plan B. We have the staircase, which is really grand, coming down the, you know, the wooden staircase. And then we have the living room.
Yep.
Which is available for photography. And you can actually probably get about 20, 24 people in that for your family groupings, okay, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. Very Victorian. You got the Victorian furniture, the light coming in through the windows, very open like that. And then also the porch. We've done several shots like that. We've got these really nice teak Adirondack chairs. So you use those. People kind of gather around them. You put the bride in there, or maybe the groom's seated in the chair, the bride's on the arm, and then the family's around them like that. So there's a lot of really nice areas for photography as well, too.
And you're painting the picture, but you can see all these photos on your website, right?
Right, yeah.
Which is altamontmanor.com.
Surprise.
Surprise. That was very clever the way you came up with that.
Right.
We have other questions here as all we go along. Let's see if we can get to this.
Hi, this is Mary Beth Paquette. I'm the mother of the bride. And I was just wondering, can country music be incorporated into the services that you provide?
Oh, God, no. That was a joke. That actually is an interesting question, because country music is an interesting animal in that I have noticed, and I'm sure you've noticed too, if you play a slow country song, it almost always works. Right?
Yeah.
Unless you're playing like My Brother Ran Off With My Wife and I Miss Him, you know, songs like that, you know, and stupid songs. But right. I'm talking about Amazed by Lone Star, for example, or I don't know. There's just so many great slow songs. But if you start playing a lot of fast country songs, I've noticed up until maybe this year, people don't know what to do.
Right.
And this kind of revolves into another point about people picking a style of music because they like it. The bride and groom wants a country wedding. Well, I don't know about that. I still think that there's a lot of people in that audience that wouldn't want country music or any kind of music as their only style of music for the night. It's almost like the caterer just bringing in chicken because the caterer likes chicken. You still have to bring in all different kinds of food.
Well, that goes back to the issue of being able to read the room and so forth.
That's right.
So if people are dancing to it, you play it. If they're not, you don't.
It's not brain surgery.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Rocket science. Yeah.
I think a lot of people, it's out of nerves that they'll pre-plan a wedding to a point of planning every single song that they want, because they, you know, they want it to go well, but you have to, in a way, let it go and let the people who you hire have a little bit of say.
Right.
On both sides, for you and for me.
Well, the other thing is, this is kind of a pet peeve. I've seen it a couple of times. There are different items within the DJ experience, if you will, for lack of a better word. I mean, some people do lights and things like that, which is kind of interesting. I mean, some people do and some don't. They don't like it. I've seen DJs put a big screen TV, and then just about every song has a video.
Which is amazing.
And so they play that in the background.
It's cool, but I don't know.
And then one of the other things is, this kind of goes back to the style, giving away the centerpiece. This is kind of like a pet peeve of mine. They'll say, somebody, you know, stand up and take a dollar out of your pocket. And then they play a song and pass it to the right, okay? And the music stops. Okay, now pass it to the left, okay? And then give it to the person who's the smartest person. Of course, everybody laughs and things like that. And, you know, it's one of those things where if you like it, that's fine. But sometimes it just goes on for hours, it seems, you know? And especially some of the older people, the grandparents and maybe the parents, aunts and uncles, something like that. It just kind of, you can see them rolling their eyes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to think about when you do these different elements. When you talk to the DJ, have everything listed that they're going to do so that you can say yes or no, or maybe just a little bit, not a lot, that kind of a thing.
Good point.
And one of the things I've seen that works really nice is that the centerpiece goes to the person whose birthday is closest to the wedding date.
That works out well. I've also seen anybody who has the oldest car at the table gets the centerpiece.
You haven't seen that one? No, I haven't seen that one. But it's easy, and it's got a little bit of humor to it.
Sure.
And the other thing is kind of their birthday is close to that date, so you kind of remember that. That's one of those remembrance things. Yeah.
Now, my pet peeve is, if we're getting into pet peeves, the speeches. Sometimes the best man or the maid of honor gets up to give a speech. They have like a half a sheet of paper in their hand, so you think, well, this is good because it's going to move along fairly quickly. And it goes on. And you've seen that too, right? It goes on and on. That's something that can really stall the ability for the caterer to come out with the food too.
Right.
And it really pushes everything back.
Yeah, you can't slow food down. You can't slow cooking down. You know, you just have to, when it's ready, it's ready. But you're right, I've seen it just go on forever and ever. I mean, 15, 20 minutes. Funny, I've seen the caterer just out of desperation just start serving anyhow because you don't want it overcooked. Otherwise, you know, everybody's going to complain if their food is overcooked.
Sure.
You know? And so it's not really their fault, but yet they take the heat, no pun intended. You know, and another way of trying to find a DJ that's going to accommodate all your different requests is through reviews. You know, I mean, you can...
They're powerful.
Yeah, they are. And for the most part, you can't buy reviews. They're real. They're genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know things like Wedding Wire and some of those actually screen them and so forth. I mean, on a Facebook page, you know, you can have all your friends write them. But some of the bigger, I want to call them services, if you will, or aggregators, they will double check to make sure that you're the person who's writing the review and that you're involved in the wedding. You're either the bride, the groom, the parents, somebody like that. So there's some credibility.
The group that I work with, SEH Entertainment, he has a really fantastic website, and there's all kinds of testimonials there, and we do video clips too, video testimonials. I also have it on my own website, which is Hire Richie. Boy, that's a mild hint, isn't it? HireRichie.com, and I did testimonials on there too. But and you have testimonials on your site as well?
One of the companies that we work with is Wedding Wire, and you can find reviews for everybody on there. I mean, venues, DJs, photographers, you know, music, florists, you name it. So they're on there, caterers. And we work very hard at trying to get to do a good job, and then people are more than willing to write a review. So we're very fortunate. I mean, we've earned it. But at the same time, we have like, I think, 131 reviews.
Wow, that's great.
And we have the second most reviews out of all the venues on Wedding Wire in the Capital District. And the one that has more than we do operates 12 months out of the year. We only operate 6 months out of the year. And they have a fairly big piece of property, so they can do 2 and 3 weddings a day. So, you know, the fact that we're that close.
You're only working half the time.
Yeah, half the time, and
with
one-third of the available resources for the weddings. So the places like that are good for all of the services, DJs, photographers, things like that.
Sure. Want to go to another question here?
Sure, why not, as long as we're here.
Sure. This is one again from the wedding show that I did at the Hollis Springs.
My name is Raylene Minnick, and I was wondering, what are the deciding factors when looking for and deciding on a venue?
Good point, because, again, this was at a wedding show, and these people walk around these wedding shows, and they really are a great resource. I mean, you can find anything there, but it can get confusing. Like, where do you start,
right?
And what do you look for? What do you look for in your end?
And there's so many, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we touched on that a little bit at the beginning.
You
got your plan A, your plan B.
Right.
Budget is another thing. You know, not everybody's got $50,000 to spend on a wedding. What's important to you?
Mm-hmm.
I've had people... I mean, they want to get fed, and it's not going to be terrible, but they want to put their money into, say, things like photography or entertainment. Like photography, you're going to be looking at the album for the next 30, 40 years, something like that.
Right.
You're going to see people that have passed on once you look at that, anniversaries and so forth, et cetera. And other people are very, very food-focused. So you have to budget it all out, what's really important to you. And then when you got to find a venue that's going to... provide those things. Like if you're really into the photography, then you got to have something with a nice backdrop. Okay, you can't all be in one room. You got to have that plan B that we talked about for photography.
Mm-hmm.
The availability, do they only do one a day? If you're going to have the ceremony on site, what's the backdrop? Is there traffic going by? Things like that. One of the nice things about our place, if I might do say so myself, is that...
Go right ahead.
All right.
You're allowed.
But at the Altamont Manor, you have these options. And as far as the ceremony goes, you can literally make up your mind 1 minute before it's time to do it. Because...
The owner's right there.
Right. Well, but I mean, we work with you plan A and plan B from the beginning, as does the caterer should, the ones that we use do. So if there's any hint of rain, you know, you wake up that morning, if there's no clouds east of the Mississippi, then you figure they can get the weather forecast right for the next 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, okay, we can plan to do everything outside. We've had people do dinner and dancing outside. That's fairly rare. But it's an option. But as far as the ceremony goes, I mean, 1 minute before it's time to do it, you know, everybody's on their cell phone, looking at the weather app, where are the clouds, you know, the radar, things like that.
Sure.
Most of the weather systems come in from the west, so we can see about, you know, we know where how far Burn is or Scary, things like that from the west of us, and say, you know, do we have 10 minutes to get this in before it starts to rain? Quick, everybody down to the garden, go, go, go.
I don't think I've ever been stuck with rain there, ever.
We've actually been pretty lucky. I mean,
yeah,
because we're in the warm season, And, you know, those are traditionally your drier months.
Right.
Okay. And we've also done it on the other end, whereas it's been raining and sprinkling, and then it's tailing off, and you look at the weather and say, look, according to this, the tail end of these clouds should be about 10 minutes away, and it'll start to clear out. And so we've done that, so let's just wait and hold up for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing that could be thinking about with the venue. Do they do more than one a day?
That's right, because you're under a lot more pressure if they do more than one a day.
Right, that's exactly right.
Sure.
And that also helps if you're going to do the ceremony at the church. See, most if you're going to do two a day, your slots are 12 to 5 or 7 to midnight, because they got to break down the tables, set up the new tables for the evening wedding. Whereas if you're doing the ceremony at the church, and a lot of times you can only get the church at 2 or 3 o'clock, well, then what's everybody doing until 7 o'clock? So they're, you know, they're hanging out with nothing to do, or especially from out-of-towners, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of the factors. I mean, pricing, obviously what's important to you. You've got to add the price of the venue to the catering menu, and that lets you compare it to the package place. But again, keeping in mind the difference in the tax and the gratuity.
Mm-hmm.
I know we don't charge a gratuity, so our only fee is just, well, it's $25 a person with a $2,500 minimum for Saturdays. Sundays and Fridays are $23 a person with a $2,300 minimum.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, that's there's no
hidden fees.
There's no hidden fees, no
nice.
Tax, no gratuity. See, that's the other thing when you're looking at a venue. What are the potential hidden fees?
Mm-hmm.
Just based on experience, I had someone, we gave them our list of caterers, and they decided they would go and talk to somebody else. So it doesn't really matter to me. I want them to have a good time. So I said, let me help you with evaluating their proposal. And so I got their proposal, and we went over, and I said, well, they didn't include this, they didn't include that, they didn't include that, they didn't include that.
Didn't include chairs.
Right. Well, tables and chairs are included. We include all of that. In fact, we have some, for a 150 venue, person venue, we have something like 350, 400 chairs, because we've upgraded our chairs, so we have a lot. We're long on chairs. But by the time you added it all up, it was more expensive.
Mm.
I had one situation where a woman, the bride, was from Saratoga. They had a really famous favorite restaurant, and they had a really good relationship, and they wanted them to do their wedding. So these people don't do a lot of weddings, and so they rented a lot of stuff. So the stuff came in on either Wednesday or Thursday, and of course the caterer wasn't there. Nobody was there, just we were there. So I signed for it, and you take a look at it, and the rentals were $2,900. Okay. And the facility is $25, and that's not counting the food.
The facility was $25, and the rentals was $29?
$29, and that's the kitchen rentals.
Oh, man.
That's not the food. That's not the bar. That's none of that stuff. So you really have to know what goes into it. You know, tax, gratuity. Sometimes there's a catering fee, an off-site fee.
Mm-hmm.
And I got mixed feelings about that. I mean, it is more work. A lot of hauling, extra staff, that kind of a thing, to pull the stuff in and out of the truck. And set it up and so forth. But we have the tables and chairs there, so you don't have to worry about that. But that's another thing to be thinking about.
Sure.
People want to do tent weddings or barn weddings.
Barn weddings. Which are beautiful. They're gorgeous.
They're nice, but... that's another... Well, that's that. But also, you got to be thinking about, what about the bathrooms? Do you have to rent porta-potties? How far away from the building are you going to put the porta-potties?
Listen, it's only that. 4 hours. If you can't hold it, don't go to the wedding, really.
It's one of those, especially with tents, you know?
Yeah.
And if it's raining, okay, how close to the tent are you going to put that port-a-john?
Yeah.
And who gets the seat next to the end of the tent that's closest to the port-a-john?
Okay. The aunt and uncle you like the least, right?
Right. Yeah. I figure there's got to be a way where you can take a look and what's the present, okay, how much money's in the envelope, okay.
You get the port-a-potty.
Right, you get to sit down there. We've been doing this too long.
That's hysterical.
But things like that, you know, what's important when you're looking at venue. So these are some of the things. We've had people say, we're going to do it on my grandparents' property. They got 10 acres. We're going to rent a tent. Well, for the cost of renting a tent, you can rent a venue.
Wow.
I mean, big tents like that are $2,500, $3,500, $4,000, something like that.
See, I just show up and do the music. I have no idea what they're spending.
Well, that's what I mean.
Really?
We have a lot of experience with a lot of this sort of thing, and so that's where we can guide people towards that. I mean, you really are getting a built-in wedding consultant when you work with us.
Sure. Well, that does it for this session, but I really think we have enough time for another session. Maybe we could do like 9 or 10 of these sessions. There's so much information, really.
Yeah, there's a lot of things we can cover in a little bit more depth.
All right, so definitely we will be doing a part two. Look for it next week on either iTunes or the Podbean app, and we will see you next time on...
Take it to the top.
the top.